for the invitation. In my talk, I shall speak about affective results, almost exclusively affective results, and I shall refer to the lecture by Hirata Kono at several points. Let me start with some notation again. Let K be an algebraic number field, MK the set of places on K, S a finite subset of MK. Is not okay? So, S is a, it is okay, no? Yeah. A finite subset of MK containing the infinite places, P1 and so on, the prime ideas associated to the finite places. If alpha is a non-zero element of K, then S integer and S units are defined in the usual way. We denote by OS, the ring of S integers, and OS star, the group of S units. In this particular case, they reduce to the ring of integers and the group of units in K. Many Diophantine problems can be reduced to S unit equation of this form, where alpha, beta are given non-zero element of K, and X and Y are unknowns from OS star. In the particular case when alpha and beta are equal to 1, this equation is related to the famous ABC conjecture. In fact, equation 1-1 can be considered as an exponential Diophantine equation, because if we take a fundamental system of S units in K, then X and Y can be written in this form, where this denotes the cardinality of capital S, zeta rho are unknown roots of unity, and the exponents are unknown rational integers. So let me say some words on ineffective finiteness results. As was mentioned in the lecture by Hirata Kono, the first result on unit equation was proved by Ziegler, Mahler, and Perry. It's interesting to note that these results were implicitly used because they proved the finiteness, but this term, unit equation, was introduced only by Lange in 1960. He proved in full generality that such an equation has only finitely many solutions. In fact, he extended this to more general grand rings for so-called finitely generated domains over Z. Several bounds have been given for the number of solutions. This was already mentioned in the previous talk. And there are several generalizations. One can consider equation with more than two variables. One can consider systems of polynomial equation instead of linear equations. And one can take subgroups of finite rank of C star or from an arbitrary field of characteristic zero or maybe of positive characteristic. There are analogs in function fields. And there are a great number of applications. I don't want to speak about this because this is the ineffective part. Let me continue with affective finiteness results. The first effective results were proved by Baker and Kotz by using the theory of logarithmic forms, or called it also Baker's method. Baker and Kotz proving their famous effective finiteness result for Q equations and QML equations proved implicitly the finiteness of the number of unit equations. and in certain special case because they did not need in the full general the general versions. Later, several bounds have been given for the solutions, for the heights of the solutions in the general case. In chronological order, this result can be obtained, and the last result was obtained by Kondrou and myself. There is another alternative effective method, which is in fact more elementary in certain sense. It is based on the extension of the Q-Ziegler principle, Dyson lemma, and some geometry of numbers. This was developed by Bombieri and later Bombieri and Cohen, and these two methods were combined in a paper by Jan Bijou in 1998. These results have many, many applications. I should mention some for QE equations, for decomposable form equations, superanalytic equations, recurrent sequences, algebraic numbers, polynomials, binary forms with given discriminant, power integral basis in number fields, irreducible polynomials, and so on. I could continue the other applications. So I should like to show you some quantitative results. Consider again equation 1-1. Denote, I have to introduce some parameters to state the quantitative bound. Denote by the degree of the field. This will be the cardinality of the set S. If P1 and so on and are the corresponding prime ideas, in that case, capital P will denote the greatest norm of these prime ideas. By using prime number theory, one can show that T is at most 2n times capital P per log P. The S regulator can be defined in the same way than the ordinary regulator. I don't want to repeat here the definition. I should only mention that the S regulator has this relation, that is, this is equal to this product, where capital R is the ordinary regulator, and this integer is a divisor of the class number. We shall use the absolute height and the logarithmic height of an algebraic number. Denote by capital A the maximum of the heights of the coefficients alpha and beta, and for technical convenience I introduce this notation for the logarithm. We proved with Bijou using the theory of logarithmic forms in 1996 this upper bound for the heights of x and y, where p r sub s and capital H were defined here. And capital C1 is a constant of this form, where C1 and C2 are absolute constants, which were given explicitly. It is interesting to compare this with the result obtained by the method of Bombieri and Cohen. As I mentioned to you, Bijou, combining the two methods, obtained the following upper bound for the height of X and Y. This can be estimated from above by this product, where C2 and C3 are of the same form as C1, and here we take this maximum. It is interesting to observe that if capital H equals 1, for example, if alpha and beta are equals to 1, or they are small in height, then this bound is much better than this. But if capital H is larger than the other parameters, then this is better, slightly better than this one. Maybe here we have a log RF square, and here only a log P. The difference is not too much, but there is some priority for this band. I should mention that this and this are already best possible in terms of capital H, that is, in terms of the height of the equation. And what is interesting to note, that in terms of capital S, S to the S here is the dominating factor in these estimates, provided that t is larger than log p. This will be important later. So, recently, we proved with Kunru-Yu the followings. All solutions of this equation 1-1 satisfy this inequality, where C4 is again explicit and of the same form as C1, C2, and C3. I should mention here that this is much smaller than the previous one. And another result, which says that every solution of 1-1 satisfies this inequality too, where C5 is a constant to the S, where the C3 does not depend on S, it depends on the degree and class number and the regulator. I should mention here that in fact this theorem, that is this inequality, is a modified and more precise version of a theorem of you and myself, and these gave the first bands without S to the S, which will be important for some later applications. In the special case, when alpha beta 1 and capital H is also 1, then this result can be applied in the direction of ABC conjecture. As to the proofs of these two theorems, so we used some improved estimates for S units, and the recent theorem of Floher and Masser on multiplicatively independent algebraic numbers, some refinements of the previous proofs in my paper and the paper of Bijan and myself, and finally we used recent sharp estimates for linear forms in logarithms, Matveyev in the complex case and U in the periodic case. I should tell you that the appearance of S to the S in this band is due to the fact that we use Minkowski's theorem on successive minima. So the appearance of S to the S is independent of the theory of logarithmic forms. We try to improve this, but probably Minkowski's theorem is close to be best possible, so at least using this approach, this cannot be omitted. But in the other band, there is no S to the S, and this will be useful later. Maybe it will be interesting to specialize these results to the rational case. It is easy to see that in this case, when k equals q, the original equation, unit equation, can be written in the following form. We consider this equation where capital ABC are coefficients, ABC are unknown non-zero integers, these are coprime, and if we denote by capital H the maximum of the absolute values of these, and capital P denotes the greatest prime factor of ABC, and T the number of distinct prime factors, then an explicit version of this 1.5 gives the following upper bound, and the logarithm of the max A and so on is less than this expression. You can see that this is completely explicit, depends on T, P, and this product, and log star H, it is already sharp in this. If we introduce the radical of ABC in this way, then it is easy to see that capital P, this is trivial, is at most N. It's easy to show that this holds, and it follows from prime numbers theory that T can be estimated from above in this way. Introducing this notation, n star is the maximum of this, and the iterated logarithms, then corollary 1 implies an upper bound in terms of capital H and N only. You can ask, what can be the best known upper bound for the solutions? At least in the case when A capital A, capital B, and capital C equals 1, the answer is given by the ABC conjecture. So I would like to say some words on the ABC, the famous conjecture in Diophantine analysis. As was mentioned, in this case, the ABC conjecture says as follows. It was stated in 1985. First, Osterle formulated a weaker version, and later Masser stated in this form. If you consider, if epsilon is a positive constant and A, B, and C are coprime positive integers, then this should hold where the constant implied depends on epsilon. And this is the radical, that is the product of the distinct prime factor of A times B times C. It is known that this is best possible in epsilon. There are some refinements and more explicit version. I should mention here a proposal of Baker and Granville. They propose this inequality where the implied constant is already absolute, and later Baker stated based on some experiments that probably here 6/5 can be chosen. So this is independent of epsilon, depends only on capital M and P. As you certainly know, there is a very extensive literature of ABC conjecture. There are many extraordinary consequences. I don't want to list all of them. I should mention only that this would imply the asymptotic Fermat, which is already proved by Weiss, so this is a theorem. Generalized Fermat equations can be treated by this, and Pillay equation, and Catalan, and many other things. The ABC conjecture, in fact, unifies and motivates a number of results and problems in number theory. And maybe it can be useful to mention to you that there is an ABC conjecture homepage on the internet, created and maintained by Nitai. And this is the data of the homepage. So, I am not an expert of ABC, but it seems that it is out of reach. So, we are rather far from ABC. Since 86, several upper bounds have been obtained, have been derived for capital, in terms of capital N, for example. If you consider again A plus B equals C, then A, B, C are coprime positive integers, then Stewart and Tiedemann, and later Stewart and Yu in two papers, and she obtained explicit results in this direction. The best results are due to Stewart and Yu, and they state as follows. If we denote by P prime the minimum of the greatest prime factor of A and B and C, then this implies that log C is smaller than this expression. Capital E is the, N is the radical. And another estimates, log C can be estimated from above by an expression of this form, where C4 and C5 are effective absolute constant. And following this proof, Chi, a PhD student of Kun Rui Yu, calculated C4, and here C4 can be chosen 710. So I should mention to you what can be obtained from the above results on unit equations. So, corollary 1, concerning unit equation, together with these inequalities, gives as follows. If E, A, B, and C are Cochrane positive integers such that A plus B equals C, in that case, log C is smaller than this expression. We met already this before. And if we use these inequalities, this implies the next one, which is already independent of the prime factors of A, B, C, and capital P. And this implies also this inequality, where if we estimate from above this factor by capital M, depends only on capital M. This last inequality can be obtained as a result in the direction of the conjecture of Osterli and Massel, but of course you should observe that we are very far from that conjecture, because there is just an exponential difference. And this inequality, which depends, where the upper bound depends only on T and M, can be compared with the conjecture of Baker and Granville. That is again an exponential difference. Comparing corollary 2 and the result of Stewart and Yu, we can observe that 2-2 and 2-3 here are slightly better than this inequality. The reason, one of the reasons, is that Stewart and Yu gave a direct proof for this relation, A plus B equals C, and they use some specific properties of C, for example, from this equation, if B greater than A follows this inequality, and of course we cannot use such an argument in number fields. On the other hand, these inequality are special cases of more general results obtained for number fields. On the other hand, I should mention that in general, this one is better than the others. Of course, we estimated from above here T by this expression and so on. So this one is in general better than this inequality 2.2 with the choice C4 equals 710. If you take the example found by De Weijer, then this is A, this is B, and this is C, then it's easy to see that log C is greater than this one, and this bound will be greater than 2 to this number. Why this bound given by this inequality will be less than 2 to the 100, so there is a difference. But this is understandable, because here we used some other parameters, so this is more precise than the last inequality. And now I should like to say some word on the general ABC conjecture in number fields. Let me start with some notation again. K will be as above, and we consider normalized variations, and we define the height of ABC in K star cube in this way. And the radical of ABC is defined in this way, where P is a prime lying below P, and the product is taken over all finite V such that these are not all equal. If we denote by delta K the absolute value of the discriminant of K, then we can say as follows. The first formulation of the ABC conjecture over number fields is due to Boita, who in 86 formulated a very, very general conjecture, which in a special case gave a generalization of the formulation of Osterli and Massel. Later, several people, including Elkies, Broberg, Granville and Sterr, Grofkin and Massel, improved, made more precise this conjecture. And the conjecture presented here is due to Massel. He proposed the following conjecture. For every epsilon, there is a constant depending only on epsilon. such that this inequality holds, that it should be observed that the discriminant, absolute value of the discriminant appears here, enter. Here, this is a constant depending only on epsilon to the n, and here this is again 1 plus epsilon. And this is valid for every A, B, C non-zero element of K which satisfy this relation. So this conjecture is again best possible in terms of epsilon, and it is called uniform ABC conjecture because of the good behavior under field extension, and in this special case it gives back the conjecture of Osterli and Masser. This conjecture has again a very rich literature. There are many profound implications. Several of them have been already mentioned in the book of Boita in 87. Let me mention here Falting's theorem on rational points on curves of genus greater than 1. This was obtained by Elkies, so this conjecture implies Falting's theorem. And it is interesting to mention that an effective version of the ABC, uniform ABC, would imply effective Ziegler theorem. In fact, this is not a surprise because this is stronger, the Falting theorem, except the curves of genus 1. This is a stronger result, but the converse is also true in certain sense. If you have already a uniform bound for the solutions of at least one well-chosen equation, then this would imply an effective version of ABC. This was obtained by Siroka. And another, a further consequences. There is no Ziegler zero for L functions of characters with negative discriminant obtained by Granville and Stark, and so on. I could continue this list. Weaker but unconditional and effective bounds have been obtained for the height of ABC, and I should like to formulate some of them. Consider this relation where A, B, and C are non-zero element of K star, and define capital S as the union of the infinite places and those finite places for which A, B, and C in value V are not all equal. Then introducing X and Y in this form, these will be the solution of this S-unit equation, if we choose capital S in this way. Now, if we have a bound for the height of X and Y, we can get a bound for the height of A, B, and C. Such a bound was derived by Siroka last year using the bound of Bijou and myself on S-unit equation. He obtained the following upper bound for the height of A, B, and C. The logarithm of this can be estimated in this form, where C6 and so on are effective absolute constants. So I should like to show you an improvement of this inequality. If epsilon is a positive constant and A, B, and C are non-zero element of K having this property, then we have an inequality of this form where capital N denotes the radical of A, B, and C. And here this bound is effectively computable depending only on N, delta, K, and epsilon. And if we assume that n is sufficiently large, then we get a simpler upper bound, where this constant depends only on n and epsilon, and this is already of the form what is required in the conjecture, but it is a pity that there is here this log. So this is a big difference. The main steps in the proof are as follows. Capital P denotes the maximum norm of this factor in the definition of the radical. And for an appropriate choice of capital S, theorem 2 mentioned above on S unit equation imply this inequality, where P and R as P the greatest of the norms, this is the S regulator, this is an explicit constant depending on N, the class number and the regulator, and here in the exponent is S. Now estimating carefully these parameters H, R, S, P and R, S in terms of delta K and N, one can get first from this inequality and then this inequality. In the next part, I should like to speak about a common generalization of S-unit equations and so-called binomial Q equations. This will be a joint work with Ákos Pintér. What is a binomial Q equation? A Q equation is as follows. You consider a binary form with integral coefficients, irreducible over Q, and degree at least 3, and this is equal to a non-zero constant, and this is a so-called Q equation. By famous theorem of QA, such an equation has only finitely many solutions. This is called binomial because there is only two terms in the binary forms, and the unknowns are X and Y. It follows from QA famous theorem that this equation has only finitely many solutions. This was ineffective, and denote by capital S the set of integers composed only of the primes P1 and so on PS. This result of QA was extended to the case when the constant term is also unknown. They is taken from capital S and X and Y are coprime. Mahler extended this theorem of QA to this more general case. It is also ineffective. The first effective result for Q equation, not only for binary Q equation, but for Q equation, was obtained by Baker's famous theorem from 1968. He gave an explicit upper bound for the absolute values of X and Y, which depends on the coefficients A and B and C and the degree. This was extended by Kotz to the so-called Q-Mahler case when C is also an unknown. Later, several improvements and generalization have been obtained. I don't want to continue. I should also mention that Tiedemann in 76, this is a related work to the Catalan equation, to his result concerning the Catalan equation. He showed that in this equation, if n is also unknown, then one can give an upper bound for n in terms of A, B, and C. And together with Baker's theorem, this gives not only for n, but also x and y, a bound which depends only on the coefficients. This was extended in an effective form by van der Porten to this case. And recently, we obtained with Bijou in this situation explicit and rather sharp explicit bound for n for the exponent. Consider now the following generalization of this binomial Q equation and S-unit equation in the following form. Consider this equation 4.2, where everything is unknown, subject to the following restriction. X, Y, A, B, C, N are unknown integers we exclude X or Y equals 0. We assume that A, B, and C are contained in S. N is at least 3. And this is a natural condition that we assume that A, X, B, Y, and C are relatively prime, and A, B, C are n power 3. We proved, together with Pintér, the following. All solutions of this equation 4.3 satisfy an inequality of this form, that is ax to the n and so on can be estimated from above by an effective constant which depends only on q. Q denotes here the product of these primes, and because q can be estimated from above by p, then this can be replaced by an upper bound which depends only on capital P. So, in the case if x and y, the product is greater than 1 in absolute value, then in fact we obtain this inequality. This was obtained later in a joint paper with Pinter and Pink. I should mention that this theorem 4 was proved in a more general situation in the number field case. On the other hand, the dependence on these constants on Q and P are of course necessary. We cannot get an absolute upper bound, an absolute constant. And if A and B are fixed, then this reduces to theorems of Tiedemann and van der Porten obtained on binomial two equations. And if X times Y in absolute value equals 1, then we get results, effective results for S unit equations. So this is on one hand the generalization of this equation, on the other hand the results generalize at the same time the previous result obtained in this direction. As to the method distinguished two cases in fact. This is rather long and complicated. If you denote this so-called S-norm, which denotes the S part of a non-zero integer in absolute value, then in the case when this is large, the maximum is large, then we use the theory of logarithmic forms, the complex and periodic case, and if this is not large, then we extended S in such a way that X and Y are already S prime units with an appropriately chosen S prime, and in that case we can use the previously obtained result for S unit equations. It should be interesting to mention that we obtained this. This is a proved result, and the ABC conjecture would imply that n is at most an absolute constant time log q. Then you can discover here again the difference between the proved result and the conditional result. There is a log factor difference. This equation 4.2 can be considered as a three-parameter family of S-unit equations in the following sense. We take this, where a, b, c are unknown integers, and the parameters are t and w and n. So, a corollary to theorem 4 is as follows. There is an effective constant C7 depending only on capital P such that equation 4.4, that is this equation, has no solution for integer parameters T, W, N with M at least 3 and T by relatively prime to P1 and so on. Further, the product of these is in absolute value is greater than 1, and the maximum of the parameter is greater than C7. So, we obtained infinitely many S-unit equations with fixed S, for which the corresponding equation has no solutions, and this is effective. I should mention some other results on parametric families. The first one was already mentioned this morning by Korvaya. As a consequence of Morgan results, Corway and Zanier and Levin obtained finiteness results on one-parameter families of affinity equation of this form, where f, g, and height are certain polynomials with rational coefficients, and the parameter values are taken from q or f, a, b, c are unknowns, and t, for t, this product is different from zero, and either the degree of f and g equals the degree of h, and this is greater than 2, or f, g, and h are linear, or, as was mentioned this morning, one can take here not only polynomial, but binary forms instead, having two parameters. In that case, it is assumed that the degree of these parameters as binary forms equals. And let me mention a result on F-unit equation over Q, which was proved by Edward Stuart Tiedemann and myself in 88, 20 years ago, which says that there are only finitely many equations. I'm sorry, I forgot to make a mention here. Then, as we have seen before, each S-unit equation over Q, where S is fixed, can be written in this form, where A, B, and C are unknowns, capital A, B, and capital C are coefficients, and we can assume that they are relatively prime, prime to P1 and so on. So there are infinitely many equations of this form, and this theorem says as follows. On one hand, there are only finitely many equations of this form, with more than I forgot to write here, I think this will be 4.6. Then there are only finitely many equations of this form with more than two non-proportional solutions, A, B, and C. And an explicit upper bound can be given for the number of exceptional classes. On the other hand, there are infinitely many equations of the form 4.6 with exactly two non-proportional solutions, A, B, and C. I should mention that these results, 1 and 2, are general but ineffective. That is, they don't give any algorithm to find those equations which have more than two solutions or exactly two solutions. On the other hand, they were proved over number fields, and these results were extended later to a more general case over finitely generated domains and so on. In her talk, Hirata Kono mentioned a generalization of this part of the result. The above corollary, effective corollary, and the result of Corvaya and Zani and Levin produce that there are infinitely many equations of the form 4.6 having no solutions. So we have already finitely many having more than two solutions, infinitely many having two solutions, infinitely many having no solutions, and this is an interesting question on one hand, what to say about one solution. On the other hand, it would be interesting to make explicit, effective and explicit these results. And in the last part of my talk, I should like to mention some generalization of other kind of S-unit equations. This is a joint work with Attila Bérces, Jan-Henrik Évertse, and Corentin Pontro. Let P, X, Y be an absolute irreducible polynomial with algebraic coefficients, and let gamma be a finitely generated subgroup of this multiplicative group. Consider this equation. Assume that P has at least three terms, because otherwise this equation might have infinitely many solutions, and this is a trivial situation. Another interpretation of this equation, if we denote by C this curve, then they are interested in the intersection, that is in the points in the intersection of C and gamma. We shall consider solutions from larger sets, and we introduce the division group of gamma, which is defined in this way. It consists of those X for which there is a K with this property. For example, zeta and zeta prime are roots of unity, then this pair belongs to the division group. Further, for positive epsilon, define this set, which consists of those X for which there exist Y and Z with this property. I should mention here that the height of Z of a point is defined in this sense as the sum of the height of the coordinates. This is in fact a cylinder around the gamma star. And finally, we define this set C gamma star epsilon, which is similar to this one. The only difference is that here we assume that the height of Z is smaller than epsilon, and here we assume that the height of Z is smaller than epsilon times 1 plus the height of Y. This can be considered as a truncated cone around gamma bar. This set was introduced by Ponen in 1999, and this set by Iverche some years later in much more general context. It should be observed that these inclusions hold, that is, gamma bar contains this one and this contains this one. Here it can happen, for example, if gamma is of rank zero, then these two sets can coincide. What is important that this and this are not groups anymore. We can say that the points in gamma bar epsilon are close to gamma bar if epsilon is small enough. In general, the coordinates of X in gamma bar epsilon and in this set are not contained in a prescribed number field. So if we want to get effective upper bound, we have to give a bound not only for the height, but also on the degree of the corresponding points. Some ineffective results. Liardé, the classical result, proved in 1974 that this is finite. Ponen later proved that for sufficiently small epsilon, this is also finite. Iverche proved, they gave in fact an upper bound for the cardinality of this set, and showed that for epsilon small enough, this is again finite. Raymond gave an upper bound for the cardinality of this. And finally, Pontreau improved this bound of Raymond, but I should mention that this result of Ponen, Iverche and Raymond were proved in a much more general situation, not only for curves, but for varieties and so on. Many people studied problems of this type and in some more general situation for higher dimensional varieties and described a set of solutions and so on. I should mention here the name of Laurent, myself, Bombieri, Marcel, Zanier, Falting, Voita, McKillen, Zhang, Spiro, Ulmo, Ponen, Davy, Philippon, Chambert, Loire, Iverche, Slikeve, Schmidt, Raymond. And if I forgot somebody, then I apologize, because so many people studied questions, generalization, related results, and so on. This is a rather fashionable, problematic in Diophantine analysis. Let me mention some effective results. So consider again the starting equation, this one, where the solution belongs to gamma, the finitely generated subgroup of Q bar square, or the division group of this set or this set. And we assume that this is absolutely irreducible, and not in this form, because otherwise, C would be a translate of a proper algebraic subgroup of this one. So we exclude this trivial case. And we are interested in these sets, the points of these sets. In the case when P is linear and gamma is O F star square in a number field, that this is just a unit equation, S-unit equation, several explicit results have been obtained for the heights of the points. Bombieri and Cohen studied the case when this is linear and gamma is a finitely generated subgroup, and gave effective upper bound for the height of the corresponding solutions. In the night book, Bombieri and Gubler in 2 years ago gave a general effective result for this intersection, where C is the curve defined by this one, and gamma is a finitely generated subgroup. They showed the finiteness, it was already known in an effective form, and gave an effective version. Some new results, and I would like to speak about them. First, we obtained with Bertes and Evertse, in the case when P is linear, we showed that each set here is finite, if here and here epsilon is small enough, and we gave explicit upper bounds for the heights in this case, and for the heights and the degrees in these two other cases. And later, we generalized these results with weaker bounds with Bertes, Evertse, and Pontro to the general case when P is a polynomial, an absolutely irreducible polynomial, and we showed again that each set here is finite if epsilon is small enough, and we gave again explicit bounds for the heights and the degrees. I should like to formulate now such a quantitative result. Yes, so a remark for the special classes of varieties we consider. It's very special with respect to the former, very general results. Our theorems give some effective versions of these general but ineffective theorems of Laurent, Ponen, Evertse, and Raymond. Quantitative versions. Let gamma be a finitely generated subgroup of Q bar square of rank R, let omega 1 and so on a basis of this group, and denote by H null the maximum of the height of the generator. We can choose a number field such that gamma is contained already in this group, denote by N the degree of the field, and let S be a finite subset of MK containing the infinite places, such that gamma is already contained in this. Of course, it is natural to choose here the smallest number field and the smallest capital S to get as good upper bound as possible, and denote by capital N the maximum norm of the prime ideal corresponding to the finite places in this set, delta the degree of P, capital H the height of this polynomial. And this is a rather complicated constant, capital A depends on delta N, rank S is very good dependence on capital S, N defined here, delta the degree, and these were already N, H null, and H null was the maximum of the height of the generator, and denote by capital L the extension field of K generated by the coefficients of P. And we proved with Evertse, Bertes, Evertse, and Pontro as follows. let epsilon choose in this way. So we choose an explicit value of for epsilon. Then for every x in this set, we have the following inequalities. On one hand, the height of x can be estimated from above by this expression, and the degree of x, which is defined in the following way, we consider the coordinate of x, and we take the extension field of L extended by x1 and x2, and then this degree will denote the degree of this point. This can be estimated from above by this expression. So this is completely explicit, and it should be observed the good dependence on these parameters, capital H, H null, and so on. And on the other hand, these bounds are independent of L. That is, in fact, independent of the coefficients. Independent of the parameters of L. A corollary of this is as follows. For every point in this intersection where gamma bar denotes the division group of gamma, this inequality holds. This is in fact a generalization in quantitative form of the result of Bombieri and Gubler. He obtained the case when this is replaced by gamma, and they obtained effective results but not an explicit form. With a smaller epsilon, almost the same holds for this larger set. We prove that if we choose epsilon in this way, you can compare, this is slightly, maybe not slightly, it is smaller than this one, then we get almost the same bound for the height of x and for the degrees of x. And finally, I should mention that in the special case, when PXY is a linear polynomial, much better bounds were obtained in our earlier paper with Bertes and Evertse. For example, in the theorem 5, we can take epsilon smaller than this one, so it is independent on degree in this special situation. On the other hand, the degree of x, that is this, the degree of this extension is at most 2, and finally, we obtain much smaller bounds for the height of x. And the last page. So, the main tools in the proofs of theorem 5 and 6. First, to give a bound for the height of x, we used a recent theorem of Bertes, Evertse, and myself, which gave a lower bound for a difference of this type. Alpha is a given non-zero element of K. Xi belongs to a finitely generated subgroup of K star, and V is an element of MK. We in fact gave an explicit lower bound which depended on this expression. This was very important for the proof. To prove this, we used logarithmic form estimates and the new results in the geometry of numbers. As to the bounds for the degree of x, we estimated the number of points with small height, so in fact we used it is called, if I know well, Bogomolov type estimates. If we have sufficiently many points with small height, then we can give an upper bound for the number of these points. These results have many applications. It is interesting to note that especially that case is important for application when P is linear and the group is gamma or gamma star. In many applications, if we use gamma in place of S, OS star or OS star square, much better quantitative results can be obtained. For example, a purely exponential Diophantine equation, discriminant equation, decomposable form equation, linear equation, recurrences, and so on. And simple example, if you consider the equation a to the x plus b to the y equals c to the z, a, b, c are given, x, y, z are unknowns. Of course, if you want to use S unit equation, then the prime factors of a, b, and c would be involved, and in that case, you should get an upper bound, but this would be relatively large. But if you use this approach, then only the size of a, b, and c will be involved, and one can get a much better bound. This is the case if you want to get an upper bound for the number of solutions. So this is the advantage to consider problems in finitely generated groups instead of groups of S units. Thank you very much for your attention.